So to understand and appreciate this vow, we have to go very deep. We have to ask deep questions of ourselves. The theme of the arising of bodhicitta and taking the bodhisattva vow also brings up, I think, the necessity of commitment to the spiritual life and the spiritual path, of deciding definitely to follow a path of practice. This is something that's very important in Buddhism, of whatever tradition, that you definitely decide to follow and follow through on your commitment to the spiritual path. You find it again and again in the perfection of wisdom throughout Buddhism. In early Buddhism, this is called, spoken of in terms of going for refuge to the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, deciding that the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha are indeed at the centre of your life, your deepest values, and you're going to follow them through. You might veer off here and there, but you keep coming back to those central values. In the Mahayana, they make more of the arising of bodhicitta and bodhisattva vow, of dedicating yourself to attaining enlightenment for the benefit of all. So dedication to spiritual life, commitment to spiritual life, continuity of spiritual practice is incredibly important. Not sort of dedicating ourselves and not rededicating ourselves is a bit like trying to boil water to make a cup of tea, and you switch it on, and then before it comes to the boil you switch it off, and you just keep doing that on, off, on, off, on, off. Well, dedication to spiritual life, constant rededication, you're not switching it off. It might go a bit low at times, even very low, but you manage to turn it up before it completely goes out, or it might go off, but not for very long. So commitment to spiritual life is very important. So we need to bear that in mind as we contemplate what follows. What follows is this. And yet, although innumerable beings have thus been led to nirvana, no being at all has been led to nirvana. Although innumerable beings have thus been led to nirvana, no being at all has been led to nirvana. This is extraordinary and shocking. So, we've evoked this vast, the Buddha evokes this vast range and variety of beings. He evokes the vow, the great vow, the great commitment. And then he says flatly, after all that, no being at all has been led to nirvana. It's a vajra speech, flavourless speech. You can just leave that there for a while, couldn't you? No beings at all have been led to nirvana. It's like you've done an incredible thing, you've led, thousands of people out of a dangerous country into safety, and you've made enormous effort. You've done incredible things to make this happen, and you feel, really pleased. And, the person, your spiritual master, your spiritual teacher says, well, no beings have been led out of danger into safety. Oh, right, okay. Something like that. And why? If in a bodhisattva the notion of a being should take place, he could not be called a bodhi being. And why? He is not to be called a bodhi being in whom the notion of a self or of a being should take place, or the notion of a living soul, or of a person. A bodhisattva doesn't only have the great love and the great friendliness. He doesn't just have the desire to fulfill the needs of all beings by leading them to nirvana. He doesn't only make a great spiritual commitment. A true bodhisattva sees, knows, that no beings are being led to nirvana. There are no beings. If he saw beings, if he had a notion of beings, he would not be a bodhisattva. And the Buddha lists the various words that describe beings. And he's listed them, I think, because there are different ways in which you can end up with the idea of being. So there's sattva, being, atman, self or even soul, jiva, life force, pudgala, person. They're just names, labels, notions, signs. If you kind of looked for a life force or a self or a person or a soul, you would not find one. That's what's being said. In a way, those terms are describing contemplations, meditations, to actually find or not find a being. I won't go into that quite yet. Maybe you can go into that in your groups.